Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Always.
Questions that aren't being answered.
I think we should start this one off British. What do you think?
Sounds like a good idea, Governor. Talk to me, Mom.
That sounds Australian.
Talk to me, Mom. I am a prisoner, a former prisoner, so that makes sense. Dude, they're fucking crazy over there, man. I pulled into Perth in the Navy. A great fucking town, but all of the girls there are I've done some scientific research. Horny as shit because all the guys are dickheads. I don't know if you know that. That's what happens when you found your nation off of a bunch of criminals. No. I love you guys in Australia. Never mind.
No, well, that's the thing too. Like, you're right. Australia is the prison island of the old UK. And if you all can't tell by now, we're talking about some people that come out of London. Or no, they don't come out of London, do they? Where do they come from? Where's the House of Windsor? Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, it's Buckingham Palace, but this is like, we have a history here that spans, near 1,000 years. They're originally known as like the Royal House of the UK is what we're talking about here. And they're like initially starting off as Germanic tribes. A whole bunch of culminating like wars being fought on the European continent, and the Germanics eventually lead into becoming the British Empire there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, dude. Like, they have roots in Transylvania, which we're gonna get into here. We're gonna kind of like sort of dissect the idea that the royal family are vampires. Or they're shape-shifting reptilians. We've got some really interesting accounts from a lady named Arizona Wilder that we'll get into either late in this episode or on the paid Patreon portion that you can support for only $3, guys. Remember, I was crying and bitching about it just last episode. But I'm going to, you know, kind of recant what I was saying, and I'm just going to try and approach you nicely now, and let's see which one works better, okay? Wouldn't it be funny if every other episode I'm really pissed off? And then every other one, I'm really like apologetic, like a bipolar person.
If we were to give you a section just to your own, like, you know what really grinds my gears? I think half of it will be filled with you just talking about why the fuck is only 1% of you motherfuckers paying? No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, we obviously love you guys. The bit of you being angry at them is hilarious. It's kind of like Tim Dillon esque, which I know you're trying to hit. But we love every bit of support that you guys have gotten. We've gotten quite a few more supporters just in the last few days. We hope you guys don't mind us cutting off these episodes early. We do have a whole bunch of good content in the free stuff. I hope you guys agree. And the best stuff, the cherry on tops are always sitting there on the Patreon feeds. You have various levels of support and various levels of content. We do still work 40-hour jobs, but goddamn, we're trying to be multimedia producers now, and that's a credit with which we're not familiar as of yet.
Yeah, man, this doesn't feel like work. You know what I mean? Like, we got some great advice from Tony Merkel from the Confessionals and that Rage Against Dystopia. He was saying just grind, just hustle. And like, I could literally do this all the time. It does not feel like work to me. I do take naps on my days off, but you know, my naps are quick. They're about 30 minutes, maybe a little longer than 30 minutes sometimes. But I mean, like, you know, I like to get cracking, especially on my days off. And then I'm researching the whole time I'm at work too, man. So this kind of stuff is fun. So we are going to be talking about, Meghan Markle, the clone of Prince Harry, and all these people that are getting into the mainstream media right now again. There's sort of like this revitalization of interest in the royal family, even here in the United States. And I have never given two shits about this family. You know what I mean? I've never saw... what the mystique is, us as American heterosexual men, even you, Brandon, who you're, you know, a liberal, you're not into this shit. You know what I mean? No one over in the United States cares about these fucking lizard people reptilians. But I mean, what do you think?
There's a whole bunch of that going on in Europe. It's just something that we're not born with in our like genealogy, in our ideological genealogy, that some monarchism is still worthwhile. I think they can be useful figures, and I think we're going to talk about here how they can at least be influential figures. So there's some good to be had with them. We don't need to knife them all. I think although I would like to stab Megan a couple times with something other than a knife, but they have a place. But right now they're figureheads. They are very, very rich, right? Extremely rich. Is it confirmed? Do you know to what extent is it confirmed that she's the richest person in the world?
Well, I mean, that's hard to actually know because right. They make it so that, a lot of their money, you know, allegedly is our tax dollars. A lot of our tax dollars go to them. There's the whole thing. We'll get into it a little bit. Pindar, the 8-foot albino lizard that allegedly rules the entire realm that we're living in. And this is, you know, I have a really interesting account that I'm going to have you read later, from a woman, Arizona Wilder, who really kind of talks about, she was an MK Ultra victim along with Princess Diana and all this other stuff. But, let's get right into it, man, because this stuff is fascinating. And I want to get a lot of this on this free episode here. Just because, you know, if you want to go down the rabbit hole with us, you can check out the remaining portion on Patreon, but fascinating stuff here. So as we mentioned, I mean, Harry and Meghan are in the news again. Something that a lot of people don't know, and you actually verified this, Brandon, because you're always skeptical whenever I bring information like this about, these two are 17th cousins. I mean, they're related. You know what I mean? People think that Meghan Markle is this outsider that infiltrated Buckingham Palace as an American, and she's getting in there and she's gonna Americanize the royal family, man. You know what I mean? And so like, that's what's frustrating to me when people get all excited. And then we realize that, I mean, this woman is literally related to Robert the Bruce. You know, Robert the Bruce was King of Scotland in the early 1300s, like 1306 to 1329. And this comes from her half brother, Thomas Markle Jr. So he was saying, like, you know, she acts like she's just, you know, this hardworking actress and model. But, you know, she was basically groomed to be into the position where she's at, and also shares the royal family bloodline through King Edward III, who was the English king from 1327 to 1377. So that's a 50-year reign for Edward III. But Thomas Wayne Markle, who's Meghan's father, is the son of Reverend William Skipper, who's a royal descendant that landed in New England right around 1639, and they moved west where, you know, Meghan kind of like got her establishment going right out of L.A. there. But she is the 24th generation of King Edward III. So very, very much well-connected, very, you know, familiar with the royal family and their traditions. And she's got pictures, you know, in high school or college age, right in front of Buckingham Palace. You know what I mean? She fucking knew she was going to live in there. And anyone that says that otherwise, it's not realistic. And I think that we're going to make that concrete by the end of this episode. And you can tell all your boomer, you know, friends and parents that are all obsessed with the royal family that this is, it was definitely planned.
Yes. Even from a skeptical point of view, the fact that people who are well-connected interact more frequently with other people who are well connected is not like an outside idea. This is culminated in one of Marx's ideas, like the bourgeoisie, right? This is just the way they work. Yeah, and having, we're gonna get into, I know Prince Charles's bloodline, how he's like, he's connected to,
oh yeah,
to, yeah, he's we're gonna get into that now by chance. You want to do that now?
Well, no, we'll wait, don't ruin the surprise yet. It's very interesting. But what were you saying?
Oh yeah, no, just confirming the fact that like it's not outside of a whole bunch of theories. This is not at this level like circumstantial evidence, because the type of circumstantial evidence where you're talking about, where Meghan Markle could just know that she is destined to become a princess, and that's a totally believable thing. Like, you can swallow that pill really easily, even if you're a skeptic. Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'm glad that you can extend that olive branch out to me here on this fine episode. But dude, I mean, it to me, it's interesting, you know. When we were first starting this podcast, man, do you remember how we were kind of digging into the 13 Illuminati bloodlines, and we were looking at the House of Windsor as being potentially connected, and they very much are, but we found that the Bush family are part of the Windsor family. So Markle, being a distant cousin of them, is also related to both Bush presidents, you know, Jeb, all the other ones, the little hick Bush that was running for governor of Texas or whatever. But also, you know, Calvin Coolidge, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, you know, all of these presidents, the family and Meghan Markle are related to. And, you know, these guys, they insist on marrying in their bloodlines for a reason. And we'll definitely get into that. You know, Arizona Wilder has some very interesting theories. Obviously, a lot of you have heard. But I found this really interesting too, dude. Trump. Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States, that a lot of people have come to see as a god lately, who I'm just kind of starting to realize is totally just part of the machine. I did like his policies more so than the zombie that we have in, the geriatric fuck that's in the White House right now. But, you know, I do think that he was definitely put there just to cause more division. But, you know, Trump is saying he all but endorsed Meghan Markle for the 2024 presidential race that she's plotting on running in. You know, and I don't know if this is like a Kanye West version.
Yeah,
that's
exactly what came to my mind, too. That's just the way he works with celebrities of this type, because he gains something from celebrities, right? I mean, he's not just famous for being a real estate developer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's supposedly, you know, I feel like I just keep mentioning Arizona Wilder, but she insists that anyone that wins the presidential election dating back to George Washington, these are the people that have the closest ties to the royal family. You know, there's even the rumors that the Civil War in the United States was started by Britain to weaken us from within. So, you know, in a way, in a roundabout way, it's possible that that England still rules us. We're also concerned about China, but I do think that England probably plays a pretty major role in our politics and in our governance and all that stuff. You know, we are recording from remote locations here because this is a touchy subject. Okay, undisclosed location that we're both in, so we're just going to make sure. So if we're sounding a little different, or you all notice a lag, that's the reason. We're trying to protect ourselves and you guys. Okay, this is deep stuff here. But there's stranger connections with the House of Windsor and the bloodlines there. Want to start with Charles. Charles was the first one that I wanted to get in. He's the Prince of Wales. And, you know, Charles' bloodline goes back to Vlad Dracul, better known as Vlad the Impaler. I know a lot of you guys have probably heard of Vlad the Impaler. He's the heir to Vlad the Impaler's bloodline, Charles, Prince of Wales, that is. And Bram Stoker, who you may know more about than I do, Brandon, you know, he's the author of the Dracula book, and he based Dracula off of Vlad Dracul. And Charles talked about his bloodline tying back to Transylvania, which is where Dracul was, in his 2010 visit. You know, this dude, he owns a castle there. People say that it's Vlad the Impaler's castle and all this crazy shit. But this is where the origins of the, you know, the royal family or bloodlines is, because, you know, Vlad Dracul, again, Dracula based off of this guy would slaughter people by the thousands. And he would like take pieces of bread and dip bread in their blood and eat the bread, you know, drink blood, like goblets full of blood. I mean, legitimately like an adrenochrome fiend. Probably had kuru, that disease where you, you know, kind of like mad cow for humans. But this is very real. This is documented. This isn't conspiratorial information here. This is very real. The conspiracy comes in when you start looking at, why is there a connection? Why is there a revamping of the royal family? It seems like every so often the you know, Buckingham Palace has to spark some interest in the in the royal family and get things going again. You know what I mean?
I see what you mean, but I think so the relation thing is not at all. I don't know if you guys care about my input on this, on what's saying what's fact and what's fiction, but that connection between those two, especially Vlad, it's not hard to make at all. As I mentioned before, Vlad apparently has like 1,000, not really heirs, I would say. I think it's important that we differentiate what an heir is and just a descendant of. But Vlad has like a whole bunch of people and a disproportionate amount of them from what information I saw are in those high class bourgeoisie positions. So that all makes sense to me. There is just inherent drama though in these royal circles. I don't understand how they can't keep this under wraps at this point, which begs the question, why is this happening right now? I understand. But it is inherently like when you're dealing with this sort of wealth, there's going to be all kinds of backstabbing, and especially because it's also money amongst family, right? Most of these are cousin fuckers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And to be clear, we are not cousin fuckers, correct? so the thing is, you say that, man, but I mean, the Romania Tour store website says that Charles is the grandson 16 times removed from Vlad the Impaler through the consort of George V and Queen Mary. I understand that there's a lot of descendants from these very powerful people, like Genghis Khan. What is it? Some ridiculous number of people are related to this dude because he just raped so many people. But being so closely related, like a direct bloodline, is much different than being like, and 16 times removed sounds like a lot. But I mean, they can pick up DNA, you know, if it's the smallest amount.
And then also just to give some context to Vlad's efforts there, he's screwing around right when Constantinople, when the former Holy Roman Empire has fallen and the Ottomans are at his doorstep. And this guy is like a very, very fierce anti-Ottoman. And so as to strike fear in the people that are right across his border in the Ottoman Empire, he's doing things like setting up stakes in his front lawn and then putting bodies on them. That's where the impaler part of his legacy comes in. The drinking of blood, there's obviously a lot of supernatural ridden disinformation going on at this time. Like at some point, if you're not in the Ottoman Empire, you want people to think that Vlad is a demon. Right. He's eating blood, because then you don't fuck with Vlad. You don't go into Romania. Right. But it wouldn't strike me as weird, because they're also bloodletting at this time. They're thinking like that's how you get some kind of bad life force out, is you let blood out. Well, Vlad seems like the kind of guy to want to have a Bloody Mary there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. What does a vampire call a used tampon?
What?
A tea bag.
Yeah, I got some advice for you, man. Don't. I have a terrible dentist. Never go to Dr. Acula. It's very, very bad.
Yeah, that's worse than mine. I'll tell you that. But no, dude. I mean, like, you know, when you get into these things, obviously it makes sense. Where, you know. To me, I think that the royal family would want to carry out these rituals that Vlad Dracul was by drinking the blood, at the very least wearing red. We'll get into that a little more later. But, you know, the Pyrus, the Bloods, you know, the gang. The reason that they wear red is because they want to, you know, draw blood. They're a gang. They want to fight. They want to show that. And then I don't know what the Crips are. I guess they're like crippled or something. I don't know if you've seen that South Park episode.
Yeah,
but, I mean, we're
Crips too. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's so funny. Yeah. Jimmy. I think Jimmy's the one in there that's like talking all the shit. But dude, you know, there's more, you know, interesting things when it comes to like Dracula and like the meanings and stuff. So Dracula itself means son of the devil, but Dracul means dragon. And the Dracul family, interestingly, was members of the Order of the Dragon. Okay, so you got Dracul, members of the Dragon. I mean, so like, you got to remember all this stuff because I'm going to tie this really, really closely to Charles, and it's kind of confusing. But it makes very much sense here. So again, Dracula is the son of the devil, but Dracul means dragon. All the members of the family are members of the Order of the Dragon. Vlad Dracul was prince of Wallachia. Okay, that's how you pronounce it correctly. Wallachia, not Wallachia.
I think it's Wallachia, which is okay. That's where the name Romania eventually comes from. Yep. So it sounds like Romania essentially, but just spelled with W's because they don't like their W's over there in Eastern.
Well, yeah, they got marbles in their mouth over there. But yeah, so we got Wallachia. If you want to check it out, it's just Wallachia. And again, Vlad Dracul, great distant relative, 16th great grandfather to Charles, Prince of Wales, who again is the Prince of Wales, and Wales gets its name from Walha, from the Wallachia or Wallachia, whatever the fuck, however you say it. But again, we see this right here where the flag of Wales has a, okay, and the red dragon goes back to the Order of the Dragon. Now, this is not shit. Like, when I saw this, dude, I fucking, like, my mind exploded because I was, you know, thinking, okay, this is a stretch. But then you start looking at it and they're honoring fucking Dracula on their flag. They're honoring the Order of the Dragon on the flag. Now, I know that there's some other meaning. The flag of Wales, you know, has this red dragon, and it wasn't accepted until 1959. It was at least, you know, flying over Wales for 1,000 years, but the United Kingdom didn't take it in until the late 50s. But I mean, there's this insane connection between the Dracul family and you know, communist China, where we hear that red dragon coming in. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, I was just thinking about all the, there's a couple other different cults or secret society groups that are based off of that idea of the dragon or the great serpent. And I think this calls back to, I think, the universality of the snake and the dragon as like a bad thing. First of all, if you think about in like hunter gatherer societies where snakes just come up from the ground out of nowhere, they don't have any arms, they look scary as shit. There's something encoded in our minds that makes you jump when you see a rattlesnake slither around our Tucson streets here. Sure. And so that, but I'm not just writing the idea of a dragon cult off by saying that, because it is so universal. It's mentioned in the Bible, a lot of other places, Harry Potter, right? Slytherin, right? The ultimate bad guy, the one you don't even talk about. That all makes sense and can come into head. And wouldn't it make sense that the most powerful person in the world supposedly has some connection to this dragon serpent thing that's, you know, prophesized in Revelation? That's going to be the thing. It's prophesized all over the place too. You got it in Norse mythology, right? The world serpent, a whole bunch of places saying that the dragon is the thing you got to watch out for. And now it's in Buckingham Palace. Shit.
Well, do you remember, you know, the SpaceX launch, that rocket was called the Dragon. He called it the Dragon. Elon Musk did, from SpaceX. And you know what time they launched it was at 3:22, which is connected to Skull and Bones. There's some Bible verse about man becoming gods, verse 3:22. I don't know if you can look that up while, or if you know it off the top of your head, Brandon, but maybe just look up like 3:22 Skull and Bones. But yeah, it's exactly what you're saying there, where, you know, man are trying so hard to become God. And this goes back to Skull and Bones, which, you know, the House of Windsor supposedly has the authority over Skull and Bones, and they have authority among other things as well. But where are we at here on my notes? So the connection between the Dracul family and you know, China, in my opinion, lies in this symbolism of the red dragon, which China used this red dragon to symbolize luck, you know, fortune, love, all these things. It's really only in the West that we see a red dragon as negative. But doesn't it look pretty negative to you? I would say so, because it's pretty interesting, dude. You know, you don't think of a dragon as something that's a protector, in my opinion. Now other countries do, but over here we see that as a demon, as a reptile, as a snake, But I mean, to me, it's just interesting. They use this in weddings. You know, when you get like a Panda Express, even they have like a lot of red and gold. And obviously, that's not authentic Chinese. But I'm just saying, it's interesting to me when you start you know, realizing the different meanings of colors and the symbolism and how positive it is to one side that a lot of patriots in the United States are viewing as pretty damn evil right now. So that to me is just more symbolism. Did you end up finding that 322?
Not the verse. I just see that it's also called the order of 322.
Yeah,
but not a verse. I'll keep looking for that one, because that sounds like an ominous one here.
Yeah, maybe 322 Bible verse or mm-hmm. something. You know what I mean? But you know, there was this, you know, kind of just to wrap up that Britain and Chinese connection, that, you know, Britain basically tried to weaken China. You know, essentially, I think that they wanted to you know, run them. I think there's a lot of occult history in China.
They're former members of the British Empire, right? They're the economically tied together by
sure.
by the sale of poppies. And I think Hong Kong is the last vestige yeah. of European control over there. That's why they're so pro-democracy and screaming about their rights being withheld, I think, at this time.
Looks like somebody read my notes. I like that. But no, yeah, you know, it's interesting to me where you just start seeing this stuff like over and over again. But yeah, dude, I mean, you know, Britain and France were pumping opium into China. And then, you know, they had to essentially legalize opium. And then, you know, more recently, it's become illegal again.
Before we get too far in, I found it. I found the verse. So it's actually Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said,
sure.
This is, again, relating to that skull and bones connection, which I think is at play even here in the British and Chinese connection. The Lord God said,
oh, yeah,
the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. This is, I think, after they've committed the great sin. They've listened to the talking yep. serpent, mind you. Or I guess
the dragon.
Well, I guess it wasn't a serpent at that time, because I think it was a lizard at first, and then God struck off its arms and turned it into a serpent. But yeah, more dragon like too. So there's a lot of symbology there that I can really see. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this isn't a stretch. Some of the shit that we say here is a little bit like of a reach, but this is not. I mean, this is like, and then when you start getting into bloodlines and the secret societies, it all makes so much freaking sense, dude. It's very interesting. But like, you know, I just want to get back to Charles here a little bit. Charles discovered the connection to the Dracula bloodline in 1998 during his first visit to Romania. And then in 2011, he joked that Transylvania is in his blood. You know, that's a very weird way to say that, very literal way to say that. But, you know, he wasn't kidding. You know, he was kind of, you know, playing it off as a joke, but he was very serious that you know, yeah, Transylvania is in his blood, very much literally. And you know, he was trying to make it seem figurative. But the vampire myth, and this is interesting to me, this vampire myth stems from the claim that the royal family is actually suffering, like all of them supposedly suffer from this iron deficiency known as porphyria. And if you want to look this up, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, but it's P-O-R-P-H-Y-R-I-A, porphyria. Again, that's an iron deficiency. And if you're iron deficient, obviously there's medication that you can take. But, you know, drinking blood is definitely going to replenish your iron, because there's a ton of iron in blood. Like, I don't know if you've ever, you know, I've been unfortunate enough to see a murder. I think I've actually seen two. Yeah, two, definitely. And you know, one was at a bus stop. Someone got shot. I was close enough to where I could smell. It smelled like pennies. It smells like metallic when you smell a lot of blood. That's all iron right there. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting that the iron deficiency comes into play here too. And you know, Vlad the Impaler was definitely a big fan of all the blood.
You can also get that sense if you've ever gone down on your girl while she's on her period. That's a side note, just providing more references here, but yeah.
That's disgusting. And I think that that's probably some things that that these guys are into too. You know, it's fine if you're into that stuff, Brandon, but just let's keep this. This is a family friendly podcast.
Right.
Let's edit that out, as a matter of fact. But, you know, another British Romania connection is the, you know, Princess Marie of Edinburgh married King Ferdinand of Romania and ruled the area after World War One. So you were mentioning World War One after, you know, just before your disgusting joke there. And that was like just a fun little anecdote. Just to add into that. But, you know, Charles has the highest power with the Hell's Angels as well. Okay, this is something that a lot of people don't know, including myself. I didn't realize this. You wouldn't think that a little twink like Charles would be in charge of all of these tough dudes. But it does make sense if you look into it. A lot of the founding members and even, you know, current members, they're Irish and Scottish descent. And specifically, the founding members were clan descendants of Scotland. Not talking KKK. Who I believe started in Indiana, but it was literally like the clans of Scotland.
This connections to the IRA over there. This is around around that time, and then all of the mischief that's going on with opioid sales, including Iran-Contra. I mean, the Hell's Angels are making buku money with crack sales at this time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, is buku racist yet? Because the first time I heard buku was in Full Metal Jacket, when the Asian chick was saying that the black guy's dick was too buku.
I don't know if it's racist. All I know is that I already feel too old to say it. I feel like it doesn't like fit right in my mouth, along with...
Yeah, right,
like
when it was coming out, and fire. You tried to put it back in your mouth.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny, dude. There used to be an energy drink called buku, but they, you know, obviously they went out of business because Monster... is 666 in Hebrew, and they were able to unleash the beast before anyone else could. Getting back to the Hell's Angels connection here, they were actually invited, the Hell's Angels, like the elite of Hell's Angels, which is a secret society. They were brought over to England because the Beatles actually invited them over, the band that is super overrated and everyone loves but don't have any great songs. Also in New Zealand and Canada, which are owned by the House of Windsor. These are countries that are literally owned by the House of Windsor. I think that the Queen of England is still on their coins up there in Canada.
A former member of the British Empire. I mean, France took it over and ruled it a lot more frequently or a lot more recently. But yeah, man, she's got the English, the sun never set on the English Empire, if you guys have ever heard that before, because that's because literally their empire stretched all the way across the world to where at any given time of the day or any given time in Earth's orbit, it's daytime at some time in England's empire. Their reach is massive.
Yeah. Well, didn't they even believe back then that the Earth was flat? And I'm not trying to start a flat Earth debate with the flat earthers out there. I don't know what the fuck we're living on here. I'm just saying, wasn't the status quo that the Earth was flat back in these times, or no?
It depends, because on the status quo of the people at the top, they're believing in a whole bunch of crazy shit. And
sure,
one of their ideas is that the Earth is flat. I know there's a common wives' tale that Columbus was set out to prove that the Earth was round. And I think I think the evidence shows that at that level he is sent out, but in commonplace, I don't even think it was too much of a question. So.
Yeah, dude. 1992, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. You know what I mean? So we know all about that guy, but dude, you know, what are your thoughts about, Charles being the true power of the House of Windsor?
Dude, it is a black box when you're talking about these families, and because there's so much backstabbing and familial relations, they have so many ways to like thread the needle just to get the power, the type of power that they want.
The reason that I'm asking is because we're going to get into Elizabeth II here. You know, she's obviously the one that everyone sees as possibly the world monarch. You know, if you've ever seen the Illuminati structure of the pyramid, there's this world monarch at the top, and it's got a bunch of question marks if you look at it. And so it's reasonable to think that she's the ruler of the world. You know, we're not talking about Pindar yet, you know, the 8-foot albino lizard that you know, lives in this lower fourth dimension that really controls all of these elites, allegedly living. You can access him through Antarctica. We're going to get into him later, or it. I don't know if it's a he or a she. I don't want to be sexist here, but I think it's very interesting that that's even a fucking thought here. And there's statues of this motherfucker all over the world. So, you know, interesting stuff here, but let's get into Elizabeth, man. So her name comes from Elizabeth Bathany, who is a cousin of the Dracul family. So again, we're seeing the intermarrying, the interbreeding between Vlad Dracul's family and Elizabeth Bathany. And she was a serial killer, you know, belonged to the House of Bath, and she was known as the Blood Countess. And she would literally bathe in several men's young blood, like at one time. They would go out and kill like 20 dudes, young attractive men, and she would take a bath in their blood. I'm not sure if this is where the name House of, or the House of Bath comes from, or if it's just the last name Bathory. I mean, it's kind of like a, maybe like a double entendre right there, where you're, you know, this lady is literally killing young men, or having young men killed, bathing in them. We see this today, like Kim Kardashian's talked about blood facials, where you put your own blood, they say, on your face, and you go to sleep with your own blood on your face, and it's supposed to tighten your skin, kind of keep your collagen on point, and all that weird shit. These fucking people do some weird shit. I mean, even if you had the money, Brandon, would you want to sleep with your own blood on your face?
Yeah, yeah. That is far out homeopathic bougie shit, and it does not satisfy my tastes at all. I would rather just buy some good health insurance myself.
Sure. Yeah, Obamacare. That's a good Obamacare commercial. Do you want blood on your face? Do you want to sleep with a bag of your own shit? If not, let us buy you some health care.
We promise. We promise you can keep your own blood. That's our promise to you, the American people.
Dude, that was a great imitation of Obama. I think that we need to dress you up in blackface and have you do a fake Obama ad. What do you think about that?
I think if people look at my MySpace, they might find that picture might be available to them already. Got a little
really
Canadian prime minister in me. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I'm not fucking in blackface on MySpace, dude.
I was going to say that's beautiful, but no, I think that, but no, man, like I said, man, it's just so weird what these elites do. And they're so obsessed with blood and with death. And it just seems like they like doing weird shit. You know, you got Gwyneth Paltrow putting eggs in her vagina and selling candles that smell like her vagina and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, what is up with that? That's something that I'm curious about too, is like, what is Gwyneth Paltrow about? You know what I mean? Cause she might have some kind of blood ties in here too.
You got quacks of this sort all over the world at this point. I mean, the guy who founded Kellogg, right? Kellogg's cereal is the guy who's also advocating for male and female circumcision in America. And it's one of the main reasons that a majority of our American males are circumcised today. So there's a whole bunch of quacks who have a whole bunch more reach in our society than we would like to give them throughout history.
You mean it's not because of the Jewish people that we're doing the circumcision? Is that what you're saying?
So
but it, no, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, getting back to this House of Bath, I think I was calling it the House of Bath, but it's actually the Order of the Bath. Again, but, you know, Elizabeth Bath was the, or Bathory was the one that, was the head of this order, the Order of the Bath, which takes its name from that family. Okay. But they use red capes and ceremonies to honor their old rituals. And, the House of Windsor actually, ran the Order of the Bath. They still do to this day. You know, they take their name from that family and they still run the family to this day. So I find that very interesting, where you get these connections between Queen Elizabeth, who is, you know, Queen Elizabeth II, truly. And then we also have the House of or the Order of the Bath, which they run, and they take the red colors, again, going back to like the Pyrus, who are really the Bloods, the gang, the street gang. And, you know, this is the you know, kind of honoring the Transylvanian nobility who kind of covertly settled in Scotland. So the nobility of this vampire family, where vampires are based off of Dracula, again, Vlad Dracul, they moved from Transylvania over to Scotland, right? I don't know if you remember that one of our early episodes where we talked about like the Real Hills Have Eyes, the Bean Clan. where these people in Scotland, they hid and they fucking ate people as a family of cannibals. I guarantee you they got some royal fucking blood in them too. You know what I mean? These are sick fucks, man. These are sick freaking people that, you know, they, I don't know if it, this is why when people, you know, when we talk about like lizard people and we talk about all of the weird, the crazy ways that they think where they can have their own children, but then they can do these horrible things to kids. You know, I was just watching this freaking documentary about Anthony Weiner. I think it's just called Weiner. And you know, he's running for mayor and, you know, he's caught in the middle of a controversy and he's making this film to kind of redeem his name. And then he gets fucking popped with another thing. Yeah. And that's what made him have to like drop out of government. You know what I mean? It's funny. The last, when I walked out, Uma Abedin slapped him. It was hilarious. Total theater. But I mean, you can tell that there's not an authentic bone in either one of their bodies, but they have a little kid, you know what I mean? Probably adopted. Who knows what the fuck, where they got this poor kid. But I, you know, it, to me, it's interesting that these people can operate the way that they do and just have no regard for human life. You know what I mean?
I think one of the benefits of being rich and connected is that you have ways to conceal the fact that you are just as devious as the most devious among us. You just don't often have the same type of connections that would keep you out of jail for doing something American Psycho-ish. You know, remember this guy, was this guy Armie Hammer, who is like obviously just on top of the world. And I don't know if that is at all correlated with his it's not necrophiliac, like,
pretty close.
Yeah. I'm not kink shaming here, but, but he's
well,
like,
you should.
He wants to cut up girls and like eat pieces of their body, which again, I think, I don't know if you've seen that, Room 230. No, it's not Room 234. HBO has a series about it where a whole bunch of shit, they just show a whole bunch of shit that's happened in like hotel rooms. And there have been cases, where courts have actually had to decide whether someone was guilty because a man showed up at another man's hotel room and had exchanged money, or at least exchanged services, to have his own penis cut off, and then they would cook it and eat it. The cops showed the cocks showed up to this, you know. The cops showed up and they ended up like, I think it was fine. Like nobody pressed charges because they're like, the state didn't press charges because they didn't know, like, who he asked for it to happen. Like he's
like, hey, I wanted this.
That's exactly what the episode shows. Is like, what the fuck would it look like to have this kind of a meeting? So yes, people up top are just as weird as the face eaters that you were scared about becoming zombies on the bottom, with Flocka and all this shit. They just have better ways to cover him up, but we have to be concerned about their dirty deeds, just as quickly, you know.
Well, I you know, on a serious note here, it's hard to be serious after that little bit, but I think that, you know, these people, there's nothing really that excites someone with all the power and money in the world. This is why you have Bill Gates talking about fucking shooting dust into the atmosphere to block out the sun. And, you know, speaking of Tim Dillon, he's got this great bit where he's like, you know, have you ever heard, I thought I had melanoma and it come from the sun, and you need to leave Billy Boy alone. He's a good boy. Who cares if he wants to nuke the sun? Live underground, become a lichen, you know, like all this shit. It's just like, it's ridiculous where it's like, you know, people have these ideas. But when these people have the money and the power, that's when it becomes scary. You know, sure, I'd like to shoot a missile at the moon, but thank God I don't have that kind of money. If I had the amount of money that Bill Gates did, let me tell you, I'd be doing some shit that I shouldn't be doing. I wouldn't be taking advantage of anyone, but I'd be nuking the sun just to see what happens. You know what I mean?
The trouble is that I think almost no matter what, in what way in which we shape our society, we're going to have people who are just more well connected. We're going to have the bourgeoisie for the rest of human, like, future, just because that's the way that we're based off of ants and apes. You know what I mean? They form these hierarchical societies, and it's more about the efforts that we put in to make sure that they stay open and honest. And the amount of memes that I have based on that I have seen based on Bill Gates just proves that, hey, at least video has helped. This is all this shit is happening a lot of the time before it's really well documented. We're having to go off of historical perspectives, which are very, very tainted. Anything you know before maybe the 19th century, like you don't really know what the fuck was going on all the time.
Yeah, man, that open and honest, you should make a podcast with one of your liberal friends called Open and Honest, like how Brian Stelter has what is it, like Unbiased News or whatever the fuck he has, and it's totally biased, but you can just be like completely closed and dishonest, but call it Open and Honest. That'd be great. But dude, let's get back to this. We keep going off on tangents here because this reptile bloodline family shit sparks so much debate and so much conversation that it truly is hard to stay on task with information like this. But the last thing that I had mentioned in the actual in the conversation here was how the royal bloodline of Transylvania, the Transylvania nobility, they moved over to Scotland. And kind of talking about how the royal family kind of rules over all these people. But there's some symbolism in their, like their coat of arms. They have a harp, and the harp symbolizes the bewitching of minds in ancient times. Like the instrument, the harp, you can play some beautiful notes. There's classical stories where, you know, sirens are playing harps and they're, you know, seducing men and, you know, doing whatever the fuck they want to do to them. Whether it be possessing or sexually, kind of overcoming them, whatever. But supposedly they have authority over that HAARP facility, HAARP, the thing that controls weather. And a lot of people were concerned can like alter the way that people think. But I mean, the acronym of HAARP allegedly was created to, basically sort of represent the classical HAARP. So, you know, this is just another thing that you all can look into about the royal family's connection to HAARP. This is a facility, I believe, in Alaska, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that, but it's definitely up north. And, I mean, just a huge frequency that it's a big, you know, platform with a bunch of antennas, and it shoots shit up into the ionosphere. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program is what it's officially called there.
Yeah, and so, but they called it that allegedly because of the HAARP, which again, controls minds in ancient times. It's a symbol for mind control. And yeah, I mean, it's a very fitting name. These people love their symbolism, right? The elites love their symbolism. You talked a little bit about Army Hammer. I mean, you know, this is one of those conspiracies that people are like, no, the elites don't like drinking blood. And then this kind of stuff comes out and it's hard to deny. You know what I mean? It's really hard to deny. And obviously, yes, this is one guy that was caught doing it, right? But who knows how many people are doing exactly what he's doing. We mentioned Skull and Bones earlier, too. This is like the military council / death cult based out of Yale. And this was established under the crown. Imagine that, right? And they control Skull and Bones. The crown controls Skull and Bones. Did you just do a bump?
No. I wish.
Oh shit. It looked like you did. But no. But yeah, so like, you know, like I said, you know, Yale is essentially controlled by the House of Windsor under the crown. And you know, as we mentioned, George H.W. Bush is you know, potentially related to them, and he's actually a British knight. He's dead now. But I mean, you know, he's a knight, you know, once a knight, always a knight. And the Order of the Bath, right? He's a knight in the Order of the Bath. And so this is you know, just tying all of these people together, the Dracula family, the Dracul family, the Bathory family and the Order of the Bath, and then the Bush family comes into play here, right? So the Windsor family, you know, it's reasonable to think that all of the Bush family is connected to the Windsor family, right? It's not just one person ever. You know, anytime when you have a moron like George W. Bush, who, you know, a lot of people like to say how stupid he is and things, I think that he had to play that role. You know what I mean? I think that he clearly had to kind of seem like the dumb, relatable president that you just want to have a beer with. You know what I mean? It's not And because then after that, who do you get? You get Obama, who, guess what, is a fucking second cousin to George H.W. Bush. And when he was confronted about this, he was even kind of joking about it, playing it off like, well, I guess the family barbecues are going to be a little awkward. You know what I mean? Typical CIA line, by the way. But, you know, it's just interesting to me when you start, you know, kind of doing your research on Illuminati bloodlines, you can see that the Bush family is very, very connected to the House of Windsor. And all of these Middle Eastern wars fought under both Bush presidents and Obama. You know, most recently, Trump sort of pulled us out of a lot of those things. We're going right back in. Trust me. We're going right back in under Obama's third term. And, you know, this was all kind of just aimed to control opium production in the Middle East. So this goes back to opium again. And it's much like the East India Trading Company that was like kind of created before the NYSE. Like, this was the first, you know, publicly traded company. And most opium is sold to Big Pharma, and then the rest of it is given to the mafia-type groups of the world, you know, just all around the world. We got, like, narcotics kind of trickling in. But there's a reason that opium is so rampant in these disputed areas, because we can't so much control the law, but we're the police of the world, right? So the reason that opium is such a big part of the occult is because, you know, the power that it truly possesses, man. You can dumb down a society, and I think that that's its sole purpose. I don't think it's to heal. I really don't think that opium's purpose is to heal at all.
I don't think it's posited to heal a whole bunch. I think it is just to, like, numb, take a whole lot of the pain away.
Well, to help the healing process, for sure.
Is it?
I would say so, man, because, like, if you're going in, you're fucked up. You had, let's say you had, you got your arm amputated. You may get some morphine, right? To numb, right? Like you said.
Yeah.
That's going to help the healing process because you're able to relax. If you're not able to feel that numbing pain, right? It's not literal. I mean, it's definitely like, it's going to help the healing process because your heart's not going to be pumping. It's not going to get all that blood to drain out of your newly open wound. And that, so, yeah, absolutely.
And that also, like, just cuts down on the amount of people dying in surgery. I know there's
absolutely
a whole bunch of stories in Victorian surgery where the person is obviously alive and they have just a huge amount of people, like, holding one person down, and they're still kicking and screaming, kicking all these people off. So, yeah, just being able to numb things is really going to help. That's why I actually see, I mean, much like oil, the organic side of opium being at the crux of a whole bunch of power struggles throughout the world, because this is in a time before oil is really being utilized, they've got to fight over something, and opium is, like, going crazy with all the poppy fields in China. So when England taps into them, and again, we've talked about how the Dutch and the English, who are going at war with each other but are economically kind of cooperating to a certain extent, they're stretches across the entire world. They're true imperialists, and so it at least makes sense that the poppies would be the crux of power here.
Yeah, man. Well, so my point, though, was that I don't believe that opium's true purpose on the global stage and in, you know, speaking esoterically, I don't think that it's to heal. I don't think that it's part of that process. I think that they disguise it very well. But, you know, when you have opiate-based products being advertised in only two countries in the entire world, the United States and New Zealand, which, again, is part of the crown, right? We just mentioned that earlier, that Canada is very prevalent, or I'm sorry, the UK is very, or Britain specifically, is very prevalent in Canada and in New Zealand. But I do think that the main purpose of opium is to trickle down and to dumb down society, to get people hooked on a product, to make it so that they're sick, but they're not too sick. They're healthy, but they're not too healthy. And they're just cogs in a wheel.
And it's having that effect, at least in our opioid crisis today, right? I mean, the people who are being hit the hardest is like white suburban areas, as opposed to the crack epidemic. So everybody gets a turn at dealing with these drugs in their community, and this is the type of force that shakes up a society big enough to where changes in leadership, like Donald Trump, would occur. I think Donald Trump came aboard specifically, you know, bolstered by that same demographic to say like, hey, we're fucking hurting here. It's people. It's the same with the Appalachian people. They're just hurting. They're living off of welfare and it sucks out there. They need to change things up. This is where power can change hands very, very quickly. It's the idea of thematic crisis, right? Which the opioid crisis absolutely is when a society is going through something really turbulent, we're willing to kind of turn a blind eye to who's making the money and who's paying for the lives that are destroyed by these kinds of drugs, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I agree with pretty much everything that you said there, man. I think that it's just clear to me. And then when you start seeing the benefits to the elites here, how much they control it, how so many wars are fought over it, especially relating to the House of Windsor and the Crown, whatever you want to call them. Again, the Middle Eastern wars, they were trying to flood so much opium into China that they had to change the rules. You know what I mean? And it's just, to me, when you start looking into that, it's pretty obvious. But I mentioned a guy named Bram Stoker earlier, right? This is the guy that wrote the book Dracula, the novel, very, very famous, famous kind of folklore type situation. But I mean, there, side note here, do you remember that show Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like this episode where they're all really scared of Dracula, and Frylock, who's the smart guy, he was saying, it's not Dracula. You know what I mean? He kept saying, it's not Dracula. And at the end of the movie, it's very subtle, but it clicked when I was doing this research. They call him Dracula. And it, to me, that's so funny. When you start seeing in these dumb cartoons that you see shit that only people can pick up on if they know what they're talking about, that kind of stuff goes on in American Dad all the time, and Family Guy, and like Rick and Morty. But a cartoon as stupid as a fucking meatball, a shake, and a fry box are you know, talking about this esoteric stuff. I find that fascinating, dude.
It makes me concerned about what they might be hinting at with hand banana. Remember him? Hand banana. And he's like, yeah. He's like, who is he saying to what's his name? He's like, tonight,
Carl.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, he just wants to fuck you, Carl every
basing
time.
That turkey tonight, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's such a great show. Anyone that has not seen it, absolutely check it out. They're 15-minute episodes. Hit it and quit it. They're great. But I mean, they're talking about Dracula, Dracul. But I mean, this guy Bram Stoker, very, very well connected. You know, very knowledgeable in the esoteric. You know, the Astor family, the guy that died on the Titanic. He was a rival of, or one of the guys that died on the Titanic. I shouldn't just say it's one person that died there, but one of the high profile people. I believe it was William Astor or Jacob Astor. I forget what his name was, but his first name. But an Astor, who was a rival of J.P. Morgan, you know, he died on the Titanic. And this is a huge conspiracy that, you know, one of the Astors are one of the elite bloodlines, one of the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati. And J.P. Morgan was a rival. He was a banking mogul, just a magnet of wealth, dude. So this Bram Stoker had written articles in this Pall Mall magazine, not Pall Mall like the cigarette, Pall Mall being P-A-L-L Mall. He wrote this article called The Man from Shorrocks. I believe that's how it is. And this was owned by William Waldorf Astor. So this is a descendant of the, or I'm sorry, an ancestor of the individual that died on, in the Titanic. So was he an ancestor? Now I'm second questioning myself. I think that he was actually a descendant, now that I'm thinking. So sorry about not having my facts straight here. But I think that, it's interesting, though, when you start seeing this guy that ties together, one of the Illuminati bloodlines. And then he's writing about this Dracul character, you know, Vlad the freaking Impaler, and talking with, you know, all of these high profile people. There's something to be said about what Bram Stoker was tapping into. I think that they wanted to kind of immortalize Vlad the Impaler and sort of make it like a fun thing that even kids could kind of get excited about, right? Kids draw vampires. I mean, like, you'll see vampires in kid cartoons every once in a while. Freaking Sesame Street had the Count, who was definitely based on Dracula. You know what I mean? So like when you start seeing all of this symbolism in kid cartoons and just in pop culture, it's a dark thing, man. There's some dark undertones there, and it's very satanic and demonic.
Yeah, the way the Astor family bloodline works its way into pop culture, it's quite a few ways. One of the ways that I remember from one of our original episodes was the Waldorf Astoria. So the Astor family is connected to that. That's the Astoria, yep, in Waldorf, and the Hilton family owns that now. And what kind of opioid of the people was Paris Hilton? You know, like just something like she created a monster with which to. For anyone to just weaponize and tear apart at the fabric of not just American society, well, foremost American society, Western civilization, I think, too. So the way that they can sneak their sneaky fingers into this, man, there are many.
Yeah, she created a lot of monsters, man. I think that she was kind of a sacrificial lamb. She seemed to have been very abused, you know. And so I feel bad for a lot of these people, man. You know, like that Greta Thunberg. I can't stand her. I think she's so freaking annoying. But, you know, she's clearly not the one in control there. And I don't know if you've seen the reports that she's been writing the Unabomber letters in jail. Have you seen that?
No, but I'm sure there are reports. Yes.
There are definitely reports. And it's interesting to me that, you know, because, you know, the Unabomber was a climate activist in a way. You know what I mean? He was very against industrialization. And so, you know, there's a couple different like credible, like what you would see as credible websites that are saying that you know, these two are communicating while this dude's in jail. He could be potentially somewhat helping handle her or whatever. Not doing a very good job. She is starting to piss a lot of people off all around the world. People are burning effigies of her and whatnot. But Bram Stoker, you know, getting back to him, he has written about like the shoulder of Shasta and the Shasta Mountains. It's very, very hot alien hotspot out there. In California, lots of really interesting articles that this dude's written. He's talked about, he writes a lot about the esoteric, talked about like, wrote about St. Patrick defeating the King of Snakes in Ireland, which we know that there's no snakes in Ireland. It was too fucking cold for snakes to be hanging out.
That's actually,
so to me, it's very interesting. You get someone like Bram Stoker that's putting up all of this stuff, and doing, you know, connecting some pretty serious people and connecting some dots that are clearly you know, something to worry about here.
You want to prove that you want to prove that we're in a simulation here, man. We're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, right? Well, St. Patrick was made a saint, I think, for driving out the snakes from Ireland, right?
That's a great point, dude. Like just recording it on St. Patrick's Day, which no one fucking cared about. Like usually St. Patrick's Day is a big fun event and no one cares, dude. You know, like no one cared about the Grammys. It's people are really starting to lose interest.
It's the Joe Biden of holidays, I think you'll find. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Martin Luther King Day is pretty boring too. at least you get to go out and drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I saw Flogging Molly a couple years ago, because they always come to Tempe, Arizona. I mean, I know St. Patrick's Day isn't a big thing in Ireland, but they always come to Tempe for St. Patty's Day. That's the biggest way I've celebrated. But yeah, but it's like a social one, so people who are mindful of the restrictions we have shouldn't be out there doing that shit right now. So
yeah. Well, I mean, is this virus real? Let's just see that.
I know you don't think so yet, but go ahead.
I still don't know. I haven't gotten sick yet, and no one I know has either, except for like a couple people at work, but you know, they don't matter. So
not people.
You know, some very interesting things to get in with Princess Diana. Do you remember much about Diana? Because that was a really high profile death. And then a lot of conspiracy theories came out very quickly when she passed away. We were too young to recognize it.
Yeah.
But there were some shady things going on with her death and her affair.
Yeah. Actually, one of the people who I reference most frequently on this podcast, the guy who's hanging right over there, Christopher Hitchens, made a name for himself in England talking about how much of a, this is his words, because I don't really have a dog in this fight at all. No opinion, but how much of a whore she was. And I think that just the reality of someone facing the celebrity culture, the burgeoning celebrity culture, and having to deal with all the effects of that, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know what's going on in that mind. I don't know all the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. So I'm down for any theories you got, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just find this stuff really interesting. I sent you a thing earlier that I'm going to have you read here when we get into Arizona Wilder.
Yeah.
I mean, Diana, she was supposedly the princess of the people, right? Americans really loved her. There was this beanie baby that my mom had as a kid, a purple Princess Diana teddy bear. You know, my 90s kids, they can remember beanie babies. Even, you know, 80s kids, you know, beanie babies were the shit. I mean, I don't know what I could compare it to with these millennial fucks. Maybe how much you guys liked Fortnite for like 2 weeks. But beanie babies were like our lives for quite some time. Beanie babies were literally very, very, I mean, the biggest shit. But you, that was, there was just people that loved this chick, man. And it was because she was very, you know, transparent. She didn't act so proper. Apparently she was fucking a couple dudes, and Americans like that. So, I mean, you know, Diana essentially wanted to expose the royal family for their rituals and their blood sacrifices. And this is why a lot of people think that she was killed. Now, many locals of the village of Great Britain, where she was supposedly buried, don't believe that she was buried on the island where they were told. And Star Magazine claimed to have a Buckingham Palace senior source that said she was secretly cremated. Okay, so instead of doing the typical ritual of burying the body in a coffin and blah, 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 she was secretly cremated and all this other shit. But the LA Times used a source saying that Diana's coffin was taken to Althorp, which I don't know where the fuck that is, but taken to Althorp for burial. But the military strict use of police and, you know, all of the armed forces had villagers like kind of hustled into their homes. And the crematorium in that village was running late into the night, according to this former cook, Betty Andrews. And the idea here is that Diana was actually eaten. She was pregnant when she died. But the idea here is that she was eaten. It was a blood sacrifice. It was a ritual. And, you know, to these satanic, you know, elite, they are, or I should say Luciferian elite, they are all about sacrifices. And if you can kill the woman when she's pregnant, that's even better. So, I mean, as rough as that sounds, is just the way that these people think it seems. And this is according to multiple insiders, Christine Fitzgerald being one of them. She was a healer. Kind of like one of these, you know, crazy people that would probably tell you to put your own blood on your face because it'll heal your skin. But she was this like kind of unorthodox healer and friend of Princess Diana for 9 years and very knowledgeable about the esoteric. But from what she says, Diana was telling her that they wanted to kill her and they were going to have her killed. And they were, you know, having these discussions as early as 1989. You know, she claimed Diana referred to them as reptiles and as lizards and things like that. Probably using my real life brain, probably from more of like a metaphor stance, right? Saying like these people just, they're cold blooded. They don't think normal. They don't act the way that, you know, normal human beings should. But there's some very interesting things that another person, Arizona Wilder, who's an MK Ultra victim, allegedly, really, really interesting speech. If you want to watch her presentation about MK Ultra, it's pretty freaking intense. It warns you like viewer discretion advised and all that stuff. But I mean, there's some intense stuff that Miss Wilder talks about here. Pretty famous character in the conspiracy world, and talking about MK Ultra and the royal family, specifically Princess Diana here. But she said that the royals exposed themselves to Diana in a ritual called the Awakening of the Bride. And this is the first week of July in 1981. And then her and Charles, which, you know, we talked about being, you know, descendant of the original fucking vampire, you know, they married on the 29th of that same July in 1981. She was heavily drugged, meant to think that she was hallucinating when she saw the queen. Who else do we have here? The queen, Mohammed El Fayed, who is the father of Dodi Fayed. I don't know how the fuck you pronounce his name. The queen mother, who is the queen of England's mother, Elizabeth II's mother. I'm assuming Elizabeth. And then Tony Blair was also there. This is before Tony Blair was in office over there as the prime minister, same time during the Bush era. Big fan of his work. But I mean, this is interesting because they all met in the 80s, but they kind of exposed themselves to Diana, making her think she was hallucinating. However, according to Arizona Wilder, this was actually going on. The shape-shifting was going on. And Brandon, if you want to read this interesting account from her, this is talking about the Queen Mother, the Queen, and then Prince Charles, just kind of showing where they're at. But I'm going to have Brandon read it because he's got a smoother reading voice.
So about the Queen Mother, Arizona says, she's cold, 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 a nasty person. None of her cohorts even trusted her. They have named an altar, this mind control program, after her. They call it the Black Queen. I have seen her sacrifice people. I remember her pushing a knife into someone's rectum the night that two boys were sacrificed. One was 13 and the other was 18. You need to forget that the Queen Mother appears to be a frail old woman. When the shape shifts into a reptilian, when she shape shifts into a reptilian, she becomes very tall and strong. Some of them are so strong they can rip out a heart, and they all grow by several feet when they shapeshift. This is a... And then the queen goes on. She's describing the queen here. I have seen her sacrifice people and eat their flesh and drink their blood. One time, she got so excited with bloodlust that she didn't cut the victim's throat from left to right in the normal ritual. She just went crazy, stabbing and ripping at the flesh after she'd shapeshifted into a reptilian. When she shapeshifts, she has a long reptile face, almost like a beak, and she's an off-white color. So this is like an albino one. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
The Queen Mother looks basically the same, but there are differences. About Prince Charles. One more thing about the Queen. She says she also has like bumps on her head, and her eyes are very frightening. She's very aggressive. She's talking about like a Komodo dragon here. And talking about Prince Charles here to wrap it up. I've seen him shapeshift into a reptilian and do all things the queen does. I have seen him sacrifice children. There's a lot of rivalry between them for who gets to eat what part of the body and who gets to absorb the victim's last breath and steal their soul. I have also seen Andrew participate, and I have seen Prince Philip and Charles's sister Anne at the rituals, but they didn't participate when I was there. When Andrew shapeshifts, he looks more like one of the lizards. The royals are some of the worst. Okay, as far as enjoying the killing and eating the flesh, they're some of the worst of all of them. They don't care who sees them at the rituals. They are what they are. They show it outright. They don't care if you see it. Who are you going to tell? Who is going to believe you? They feel that it is their birthright, and they love it. They love it, she says.
Dude, I just wanted to hear you talk about reptiles, dude. That was great. Reptilians. But no, man, you know, so whether this lady's telling the truth or not, this is kind of supposedly Arizona Wilder is the one that introduced David Icke to the entire reptilian idea. So a lot of people think that David Icke thought this idea up, but he got his ideas and his theories from this Arizona Wilder woman, right? So what do you think about that, man? It clearly seems fantastical, seems like a freaking Goosebumps book or something. But what do you think, man?
So we have had people and interacted with people in the course of doing this show. We've had people on, and in the course of doing this show, we've talked to people who will say some crazy shit. That is what this show is about. It's about talking about the crazy shit. I think we spend a good amount of time talking about what is more out there than not, what stuff can be historically validated and what stuff is, I know you don't like this term, but conspiracy theory. This to me can be summed up by someone just like hating elites. There's all kinds of ways that societies at different levels express their distaste for the way that the bourgeoisie, the merchant class are going about their ways. And if you saw what Arizona Wilder is saying about these kinds of people and these rituals, if you saw them as anything less than literal, they still have some effect, right? Like if she's talking about, you know, the queen and Charles ruining people's lives, instead of actually sacrificing them, and that they appear different than the rest of the world. Well, keep in mind they're cousin fucking each other. So their eyes are going to be a little bit slanted, right? They're going to be super white and they probably seem cold. I mean, who the fuck could you get close to as a royal and still trust? I'm not saying we should feel bad for them, but the ways that people who don't have haters are going to hate, and sometimes the hate is deserved and it comes out in weird, weird ways. I'll chalk it up to that. I know that a whole bunch of people have, aside from David Icke, have taken those ideas. This Springmeyer, what's his name? Fritz Springmeyer also echoed this kind of thing. And Fritz Springmeyer's book is later found in Bin Laden's compound after they raided him. So the ways that people like Arizona Wilder have expressed their distaste for those above, it can tint your view of reality, either to reveal reality or to make the world seem like a little bit more interesting place where there's reptilian shapeshifters in play now. At the bottom of it, I don't believe a word of it, but that would be the best way I could represent it, for at least.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, I think I mentioned it when we first started talking about Princess Diana here, but Arizona Wilder also claimed that Princess Diana suffered from multiple personality disorder through the avenue of MK Ultra. She was, you know, also insisted that Diana was impregnated by Pindar sperm. Okay. Pindar is this 8-foot albino lizard that essentially rules the world. Okay. I don't know if I go that far, but it's very interesting just to think of where these ideas come from and why these people are so hell-bent on them. I understand, yeah, maybe you want to cause a lot of hate and create a lot of hatred towards the royal family. But what's the purpose? They're never going to come out of power. You cannot. I mean, these people can't get convicted of crimes, right? They credibly got accused of abducting Aborigines kids or Aboriginal kids or something. I forget what it was, out of Canada. By a lot of accounts, it wasn't just one person. A lot of people said, like, hey, we saw the royal family taking these people, these young kids, and then they disappeared. They never brought them back. And they're like wanted in some countries, but it doesn't matter because they're above the fucking law, man.
Well, even if it's true or not, I mean, we have instances where they still do take effect. I mean, we have in America, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. That is based on the Queen. I can't remember what number goes after her name, but Queen Mary, who was doing a majority of the persecution of Protestants in Europe at the time. Under the because she was a strong Catholic, she was like, I don't want none of you Protestants fucking around in my country. Why don't you get the fuck out? That's why we like see her as such a scary figure. There's movies and a little kids game based on that, because it's such a crazy idea that this is a monster of a person who was killing our people, the people who we treasured most, the founders of the Protestant religion, because that's what the first pilgrims were all about. So I think it still has some effect, and the monarchs are, in my view, less powerful than they used to be. I know that in the conspiracy theory world, that is naive and short-sighted. So that's how I would say that even these accounts can have the effect of taking away power from the royals. From what you know, Ryan, royals on the upswing, the downswing. Where are they at right now? We've poked at the fact that she could be that Elizabeth could be at the top of the pyramid, really.
Sure.
Doesn't that seem a little bit too, doesn't that seem a little vanilla to you at this point? Like she's also.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you have?
Yeah, definitely, dude. I think that, I mean, call me crazy, but I think that I do think that there are some sort of, I think that there's some sort of demonic energy or what we would call demonic energy here on Earth. Right. I personally do believe in the realms, right? I do think that it's possible that other spirits or other entities live, whether it be on this planet with us and we just can't see them. Joe Rogan had a really great way of breaking it down, where sometimes like you can wave your hand over a bug on the ground and they don't even know that you're there, right? Like you can wave your hand right over the top of a tiny little bug and they don't even recognize that that is a thing that can just kill them, right? And most of the time we don't, but sometimes people do just step on bugs just because, just for the hell of it, right? I think that it's very possible that there can be other entities out there that are controlling what's going on here. And as I like to kind of describe it, it's one person or one entity controlling the few who control the many, right? I mean, whether we like it or not, there's a small group of people that control what you and I, our listeners, and people that have never heard of us before, the mass population. There's a small amount of people that control what we do, how we live, how we pay taxes, how we work, the companies that we work for, the services that we can provide and the services that we can consume. So to me, I think that it's not crazy to say that, that something like Pindar is ruling the world. You know what I mean? It sounds goofy even saying it just because, you know, I know that, that you think that it's probably something more, like a group of people at the top. But if we're going to follow that Illuminati pyramid and no one knows who's at the top, why isn't it some invisible entity that has some sort of supernatural power or some able to kind of like, you know, control people through energy fields and things like that? You know what I mean? It's just a thought to me.
Yeah. And it is a pretty damn universal thought. Like I mentioned near the beginning of this recording, the fact that people around the earth independently come to this idea that the underground and the snake, the serpent, the reptile is something to be feared, or at least respected because of, or at least feared to the extent of respect, right? Because yep. of their power, their potential power on us. That is, again, that is the root of the idea of the devil in and of itself. This is not new thinking. This is a different way of, I think, laying out the same problems as, you know, early, not even monotheistic religions were holding up. It's actually since before that, like in animism, in animist religions, like in Native American religions, where yeah, there's still a lot of extra supernatural forces going on out there, and a lot of them are happening beyond our control, and we can't really punch back at them. But understand that they all play a power game in and of itself, and they're on two ends of the spectrum. There's a really, really, really good figure, and there's a really, really, really bad figure. It helps you look at the world and understand your spot in it a little bit better, even if you have to admit you're one of the peons at the bottom. At least a lot of people feel better knowing that, okay, we need to fight our... We need that feeling that they need to live their lives fighting the fight so as to reveal the ultimate bad guy, right? And to push him down, to have some effect against this supernatural effector, the most effect against them that we can. And that's a life well lived. It's not a crazy thought, man. I mean, most people throughout history have believed in some version of this with just different figures. They've filled in the blanks with different names throughout human history. So... no, universal. And it makes sense to me that it would be the person at the top of the heap of the world, which I think is still the Queen of England, because that imperialist reach, it doesn't just go away. You know, like just with the Dutch East India Trading Company. Yeah, the company's gone. But goddamn, like they might as that we're running with their rules still. The stock exchange is still the boss.
Yeah. Absolutely, dude. So that's a great way to put it, because yeah, I think that there are some of these forces that are absolutely controlling us. Seems that you kind of you know, lean towards more the Queen of England, and I'm more in the supernatural area. But one final thing about Diana and the Pindar connection, you know, the reason that this Wilder character thought that that Princess Diana was artificially inseminated by this, you know, supernatural 8-foot albino lizard was because Prince William was born on the summer solstice in 1982. That was June 21st. And that's a very, very significant date for the supernatural and for esoteric type shit, occult knowledge. I mean, I was making a big fuss about how they were saying that we're going to face a dark winter. And then you see that Project Dark Winter and summer solstice, June 21st. And the Mayans were talking about how the world is going to end on December 21st, 2012, because of the ones and twos. You know, who knows? Supposedly people are saying that we're off by 8 years and it was supposed to end last year, which it didn't still. But there's also really interesting connections between the Mayans who created that calendar and then like Myanmar, where we're seeing this chaos go on there. And it kind of seems like exactly what the Q people were thinking happened in the United States where the election was stolen. The same shit is going on in Myanmar. But if China gets involved with that, which is possible, this could bring on the end of the world. So the Mayans could have just been like this disguise, you know, with Myanmar, Mayans. It's 2021. I don't know if you know this, but it's just 12 backwards. So 2021 versus 2012. To me, that kind of stuff is really interesting. I like looking at the numbers and seeing what they do. But I want to get into Arizona Wilder and Pindar a little bit, just because there's so much information that she has to share. It's really great stuff. So let's just go ahead and get into
that. Hey guys, we hope you enjoyed that portion of the episode. If you want the rest, we got more information about Arizona Wilder and Pindar, the great reptile lord, over here on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Hope to see you there.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.